Let me pray. God, speak to us this morning. We pray from this portion of Scripture that we too would step out in faith and obey you, even when, I guess, we're not sure that how you will work and what you will do. That we would be men and women of faith who trust in your word and your purposes, and that we just commit ourselves completely to them. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, as we look at a new year of ministry, it's good to remember what our purpose statement is as a church, and that's on the screen. It's to glorify God by bringing people to Jesus and fellowship in his family, leading them to a Christ-like maturity, equipping them for loving service in the church and effective witness in the world. That encapsulates what we're on about, why we exist as a church, and what drives us. And as we reflect on that purpose statement, we think, okay, how did we do last year? What happened last year? Well, I guess we grew spiritually, different levels. We engaged in the E100 series. We read the Bible, hopefully personally as well as in groups. And we heard sermons and we studied various courses and home groups. And some went to Katoomba conventions or Bible college courses. And this week, 13 of our young people were at the Next Gen conference in Katoomba amongst 500 young people learning the Word of God and how to teach the Word of God to others. And we've grown in our faith and ministry skills. We have witnessed to thousands of people. And we do that each year because that's on our heart. Through our schools work and our kids and youth groups and camps and holiday clubs and playtimes and creative crafts and prime time and radio ministry and websites and weddings and funerals and carols events and men's breakfasts and Flourish and young adults outreach and Fresh and Alpha and 101 evangelism and Chinese ministry and Macedonian ministry and through our Wellington mission team and through our beach and country missions that many of our people have been involved in. But not only do we witness because we want people to come into fellowship with Jesus, but we also support the work overseas as well. And you have supported in prayer and financial support. It's been part of our budget for our church, and our main mission appeals have gone through to see lives transformed in Lebanon and Bali and Sydney University and Beverly Hills Girls and Peakhurst High and Senegal and through CRAM and New South Wales schools in Mozambique, Outback Australia, through Chaplaincy Ministry, through YWAM in Perth, and our workers that we support with YWAM in Perth are in India at the moment sharing Christ. And they're just some of those people we support. That's on our heart. It is about seeing Jesus' name spread right across the place. And last year, people have come to faith in Jesus. 17 people were baptized. 21 members were added to the church. But more than that, we demonstrate the love of Christ, because we know when you know Jesus, it's not enough simply to speak about Jesus and what a great God he is. You need to demonstrate it in loving relationships and loving actions. And so people have cared for each other in personal caring through food hampers and meals and prayer support. And you have given to support child sponsorship programs in Nepal and other parts of the world, something like 65 children in Nepal. The Christmas Appeal, you gave thousands of dollars towards that, Operation Christmas Child. Some have served the homeless in Surrey Hills. We gave and supported the Watoto Ministry in Uganda. Thousands of dollars for the Bibles for the Persecuted Church program. Creative Craft raises thousands of dollars for various charities. Others are visiting asylum seekers in Villawood. Hayley Burns, one of our members, is now on Manus Island in PNG, working with the Salvation Army, teaching English to those in detention. In Jesus' name, going to other parts of the world. There's some of the things we've done last year, and really, in one sense, what do we do this year? Well, more of the same, right? Someone said to me, I heard a preacher once, and so I always get disappointed, because I preach the vision talk, he says, and people say, oh, yeah, it's just the same as last year, and the year before, and the year before. So that's the point. That's our vision. That's our purpose. It's helping people to remember why we exist, what God wants, because his word doesn't change. Some of the ministries we may do may be different, but those purposes are established in the word of God. So we look forward to 2013. I tell you, having spent a week with 500 young people 18 to 25s and their leaders and other pastors, and hearing the Word of God taught and watching them work in small groups to learn how to handle the Word of God better, and seeing them lap up the book of Leviticus. Church, lap up the Word and see how it's fulfilled in Jesus, and how Jesus calls us complete sacrifice in response to his gospel, to see them wanting to know more and see people come and talk to you afterwards and say that my life was changed from what you said tonight. And you see them going away praying together, and someone said to me afterwards, after one of the nights, a whole bunch of people from one group sat together from the one church as they were praying repentance and commitment to Christ that night. And when you come away from a situation like that, you get energized and focused. Okay, God, it's one thing to be at a conference where people are thinking about ministry. Now it's the local church doing the ministry, right? And here we are, new year. And let me tell you something. God is still the sovereign king, even in Australia. His gospel is still the only hope of the world. God is still at work drawing his people to himself. And we have the profound privilege of being his servants in the world, helping to accomplish his great mission. And so over the next couple of weeks, a variety of ministries start and some new ministries. Because when you step out in faith, at times God will say, well, why don't you try that? Why don't you try that? Why don't you try that? And God may put it on your heart to say, well, how about this area? You know, I open up my inbox, my emails this morning, and I had a proposal for a new ministry, ESL ministry. It's increasing need to reach out to people of different ethnic backgrounds in our community, and we've got some keen people say, hey, this is our plan, this is our strategy. I tell you, that warms your heart, right? Come home and say, well, they're not saying, Ange, will you run an ESL ministry? They're saying, we've met, we've prayed, we've talked, we've got a plan, we've got a strategy. Do you think we can do it? Do I think you can do it? Go for it in Jesus' name, right? And this is what ministry is about, isn't it? When someone says, well, God's given me a heart. The guys who went to Villawood, they just had a heart for asylum seekers and sharing the gospel with Hazara Muslims and Sri Lankans and other people, saying they are people that God loves and we just want to share Christ with them. And others love youth ministry or kids ministry, and others love other things, and God puts it on your heart to do it. And you step out in faith, even when you're not quite sure how it's going to work out. In the Bible passage that was read to us, I love this story. It says in Luke chapter 5, one day Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God. So there are crowds listening as Jesus proclaims. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down, as a rabbi would do, and taught the people from the boat. In other words, there were so many people gathering in to hear him, it was a bit crowded. He said, listen, we're stuck in the water. Here's the boat there. Can we just put out a little bit so I've got some room so I don't get trampled by the crowds here? And we come to the first point, see what happens in verses 4 and 5. And I've called this, obey and trust the master's commands. When he had finished speaking, he's been preaching, and Jesus said, okay, enough now. He said to Simon, would you put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch? And Simon answered, Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. God ever told you to do something in his word and you think, I'm not going to do it. That's not going to work. I'm not going to do that. That's crazy. It's a bit like that. The master says to Peter, who's the fisherman, the expert, just put your boat out there. Just let down your nets. And Peter's thinking, Jesus, I know you're a great preacher and teacher. You may be the Messiah, but you've got no idea about fishing, right? What do you think is going on in his mind? Seriously. We've worked hard all day and night. And so you would understand, Peter said, well, I'm not sure that I should do what you say, but at the end of it, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. And sometimes in your Christian faith, God, not sure why it's happening, but you've made it clear in your word that you're necessarily going to hear the word of Jesus, as Peter was with Jesus, But we have the Word of God here in the Bible. As you read it, at times you think, I'm not sure I want to obey that or follow that. I'm not sure it's going to be good for me if I follow that. Sometimes you question God's judgment and God's goodness, and you think, well, I'm not sure, God, that this will work out, forgiving that person, or trying to witness to my friends who always knock me back, or trying to do something else. Oh, I've tried it, God, I'm not going to do it again. I tried witnessing once, and it never goes anywhere. I showed love to people once, I went to a home group once, and then I got hurt, so I'm never going back, right? But he says, Jesus, you know, we've been there working all night, but if you say so, I'll do it. Can I urge you to obey and trust the Master's commands? Let me give you an example of one of those, where you follow God's direction and use your gifts for the good of the church and the glory of God. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. That's the call of God. That's God's word to you. Now we Baptist people, God says, is whatever gift you have received to serve others, pick up your serving towel. In 2013, John 13, the word of God says, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Serve each other, encourage each other. Look around and think, how can I help someone else? And most of that will happen, by the way, through small group ministries. That's why we encourage people to be in a small group, because you can't know 600 or 700 people who come to a church on a Sunday. You can't know that many people. You can't even know the 250 people come at one service. You can build relationships over time, but most of the loving service of one another will happen through small groups. And then the encouragement to go out in Jesus' name to serve others. You know, I just counted up the number of kids who are going to hear the gospel through our scripture teachers. I said, Robin, how many classes are we teaching this year? Hannon's Road, Nowee, Pekers. We're teaching in just those schools 15 classes. Average about 20 students per class. That's 300 students. Every week, 10 weeks a term, about 40 weeks a year. Don't worry about the 45 kids who make it to Kids Club on the afternoons. As we go out as God's hands and feet and his missionaries into our schools, 300 kids are going to hear the message of Jesus just through our church's ministries, not including all the other church's ministries. Some of you will lead home groups. Can I encourage you? Keep at it. Some of you will host home groups. Some of you are great prayers. You say, I can't do those upfront things or lead a group, but just give me a list of things to pray for, and some of you will be on our prayer team. Some may just really like to help parents be better parents, and as a group have decided to set up an ESL ministry, some of you might think, well, I'd love to help parents be better parents. A little bit older now, I've had some experience. I might pick up a course and maybe set up a course for four or five weeks to help parents be better parents. Or I might train someone in evangelism, or I might serve in hospitality. Whatever it is, serve, find a place to serve. And secondly, another example of obeying God's word is, will you obey God and honour God with the use of your resources, including your money? Gifts and abilities, but secondly, 2 Corinthians 8 verse 7, just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I've got a wallet back here with money in it. And God says to me, Ange, are you excelling in the grace of giving in 2013? Are you going to learn to be more generous? To give to God's church, to give to mission work, to give to the poor overseas? Will you use your money in a way that brings glory and honor to God? Excel in the grace of giving. Friends, Master, he says, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. Let me give you an example of someone who put God first, obeyed God's command despite the cost. It's a story told by Tony Campolo in his book, You Can Make a Difference. He says, I remember so well a certain young woman at Eastern College who had committed herself to be a missionary with Wycliffe Bible Translators. She'd been going out with a guy named John, and one day she came to my office with tears running down her cheeks. She sat down and buried her head in her hands. With concern and perplexity, I asked, "What's the matter?" She said, "John wants to marry me." "You like him, don't you?" he said. She said, "Yeah, I'm crazy about John." "Well, then what's the problem? You love John. John wants to marry you. Sounds perfect." She said, "John is not committed to Jesus. He doesn't share my commitment to go as a missionary to Brazil." And Kampala said, "What are you going to do?" Said her eyes narrowed as she looked at me and said, "You know what I'm going to do. I'm going to Brazil as a missionary. I just came in here for you to pray with me and to cry with me." Kampala said, "I did both. On Friday afternoon, John and I got into a car, drove that young woman to Kennedy Airport in New York, and put her on a plane to fly to Brazil. When she boarded that plane, she was crying, John was crying, and I was crying. As she flew away, I thought to myself, is this what it means to be a follower of Christ? Is this what it means to be a disciple of our Lord? And the answer is, you bet your life. Because Jesus says, unless you love me more than you love your mother, your father, your sister, or your brother, you are not worthy of me. You can't be a follower of Jesus, he writes, unless you are in to that. Obey God. Obey his commands. Don't run from them. Don't make excuses. Obey them. Secondly, give God the glory. When they'd done so, when they listened to Jesus, when they did as he said, rather than making up their own plans, rather than questioning Jesus, they put their faith in Jesus. Peter put his faith in Jesus. And they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Now, this is big. I love it when they show it on video sometimes. And there's fish flying, you know, swimming in everywhere, the nets, and they can't hold on to them. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come over and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. Now, this is quite an experience for everyone who is watching this, the crowds, right? There are so many fish, they load them onto the boats and they're both under the weight of the fish. Now, everyone knows something unusual has happened here. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. Have you ever considered how strange that is, what he said? Now, if you're a fisherman with all everyone's watching, right? Jesus said, "Put your boat out." You put your boat out. And the fish are coming in. You go, "Wow, look at me. It's my boat. My fishing. Did you see how good I am?" Peter says, "Not." And there's a temptation to get glory when something good happens. And all these people come in and are watching, go, "Oh, Peter, you're a great fisherman." No, Peter says, "My goodness, this is not about my fishing skills. This is about God and his glory." And he realizes that he is in the presence of holiness. And he says, "Don't come anywhere near me." He knows he's not dealing with an ordinary man here. He doesn't seek glory for himself. Glory to Jesus. One of the young men at the Next Gen conference tried to encourage me at the end. And he said to me, he said, "I really enjoyed your talks." He said, "I left thinking how great Jesus is." That was the best compliment anyone could give you, don't you reckon? "I liked your talks. I left leaving thinking how great Jesus is." And friends, whenever we do any ministry this year, it's about, we want people to see how great Jesus is, not how great you are, not how great I am. We are simple servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want people to see the beauty of Jesus and the glory of Jesus and the forgiveness of Jesus. And friends, let me say to you, preaching on the book of Leviticus and seeing that Jesus is the fulfillment, and you had those sermons last year of those sacrifices and what they had to go through because we're terrible sinners, and how Jesus went to the cross in our place to bring us forgiveness. I tell you, those young people, when they saw the Jesus and the sacrifice of Jesus, they were just blown away knowing that Jesus is a great Saviour and we are great sinners. Peter said, "Go away from me. I am a sinful man." Friends, in 2013, God must get the glory. Galatians 6:14, Paul writes, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. I don't boast in my money. I don't boast in my achievements. I don't boast in my home. I don't boast in my kids. I don't boast in anything else. He says, I will boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, passionately engage in mission. And Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. You are in the presence of greatness. You are in the presence of holiness. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. In other words, you will no longer be focused on fishing and making money out of fishing, but you will be engaged in the work of redirecting thousands of lives into a relationship with Jesus Christ, catching men. And friends, in Australia in 2013, we can focus on dollars or destinies. There's nothing wrong with making money and earning money. God wants us to do that. He wants us to be faithful and then to be able to give away to bless others. But if money becomes our priority rather than affecting eternal destinies, then we've got the balance wrong. God said it is about affecting eternal destinies. And so I want to encourage you to have a grander vision than simply working, making money, having a nice, comfortable experience in life, but to seek to see lives transformed. So the Chinese outreach event on February the 16th is a Chinese outreach event. Then you'll be a part of. You can pray for it. If you can't come, to pray for it. The Alpha course is about taking the gospel to our friends and neighbours over 7 weeks. Most of our ministries are about going out in Jesus' name to bring people to Jesus. Mums, dads, brothers, sisters, cousins, friends, neighbours, workmates, even enemies of Christ. But I wonder, I was saying in January, I'm wondering what new area God might put me into this year, what new relationships or people that I might, who have never shared the gospel with before, might be able to share the gospel with them. Some will do it through an ESL class, some will do it at Villawood still. And Bill Hybels, who's often encouraged me to think outside of the box through his books and to give my heart completely to the cause of Christ, talks about sailing, because he was right into sailing. I have no interest in sailing, but he does. But he talks about the frustration of boats in harbours. And as a sailor, he says, you spend time fixing up your boat in the harbour, but the point of cleaning and fixing your boat is not to leave it in the harbour, it's to sail it out of the harbour into open water. And that may be scary to take it out into open water and to sail away. And one day Bill said he chose to sail into open water, and he sailed so far up the coast he landed very near to the campsite where he was converted. So I ended up at this place. I thought, I want to visit the place where I gave my life to Jesus. So I was trying to find a taxi ride, and no one would take him that far. And then he found a young man, he said, hanging around, covered in tattoos. And he said to the guy, listen, mate, would you be able to drive me out to this campsite? He said, oh, I don't have any petrol. Bill said, I'll fill up your petrol tank if you drive me out. So Bill said he filled up the petrol tank, and I'm sure this young guy had never had his petrol tank filled up before. And he drove me out to the spot and said, I found the spot where I remember as a teenager I gave my life to Jesus. And so I got out of the boat. He just waited out of the taxi or the car. He said, I walked up to the spot. I sat there for 20 minutes. I just thanked Jesus for saving me there, and I went back to the car. And the guy said, what were you doing, mate? What were you doing up there? Why did you come all the way out here? And he explained to him that he'd become a follower of Jesus Christ there at an early stage in his life. And the young man driving on the way back said to him, would God accept a loser like me? Bill told him that he wasn't a loser, that God made him, that he was valuable, and God would receive him back with open arms. And this young man explained to Bill that another local church pastor in his area had been witnessing to him as well. And he thought maybe it's time he made it to church this week to learn more about Jesus. Out of the harbour, into the world, filled with the Spirit, the word of God on our lips, and a heart of compassion for the lost. The disciples were going to leave their fishing and catch men. And Jesus then says, follow me. So they pulled up their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. They listened, and they said, okay, we're with you. We're with you wherever you take us. 3 years of ministry, 3 years of traveling from city to city, 3 years of opposition and persecution, 3 years where their master Jesus was often tried to be killed by the Pharisees and the other religious leaders, 3 years. And sometimes God calls you to leave just your local church and go somewhere else to serve in ministry. Emily Wood, one of our student pastors this year, or our only student pastor this year, is studying full-time at Sydney Missionary Bible College, preparing to serve in Africa in 2014. That's the prayer, that's the goal. God's given her heart to go to Africa to serve in the social welfare area. Catherine Jobling is at Moore College, new church this year, preparing for the work of the gospel. Ricky Sue, now pastoring at Hornsby Baptist Church. In a couple of weeks, I'll be preaching at his induction and ordination service. Wayne Ford, enjoying life at Nelson Bay Baptist Church. Christian Aguilera at Townsville Baptist Church. Kelly Landrigan, from a few years ago, at the Hunter Bible Church. And I notice she'll be speaking at the Equip Women's Conference this year as well. Michael Leader at the Thornleigh Chinese and Australian Church. Sometimes God calls people from within here to serve as pastors, sometimes as missionaries, and I can list all the missionaries that have gone from here to other places. But for most of us, God will simply call us to use our gifts and abilities right here and now in our community in a variety of ways to bring glory to Jesus. And so I asked you on this Vision Launch Sunday, is it time you stepped out in faith to do a local ministry or to do something maybe even full-time for God? Is it all too hard? Well, will you remember that the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven and came to earth, and in humility he lived and loved and died for us. The disciples were asked to leave behind their jobs, their background, in one sense even their families, to engage in that mission. God calls us to do the same. So in 2013, can I urge you to obey and trust the Master's commands, to give God the glory in all things, to passionately engage in mission, and to follow Christ completely. Let's pray together. Oh God, here we are. Weak, fallen, broken, but forgiven, reconciled, filled with your Spirit. Lord, do with us as you will this year. Our purposes are clear. Our goals are clear. You've made it clear in your word. Lord, we ask for the faith and the courage and the boldness and the commitment that we would obey your word, be engaged in your mission. Lord, we want to see your name honored and glorified, and pray that you would help us to live such lives that glory and honor would come to you. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.